Welcome back to Workday Playdate with Improve It, the show where your personal development hangs out with some improv, leadership gets a juice box, and we remind your inner overachiever that life is supposed to feel good. Now, if you are new here, hello, I am so glad you pulled up to recess today with us. So this month, we are talking all about intention setting on the show. We are dialing down the chaos and dialing up the clarity. And we are talking about building a year, a month, a week, and a day that actually feels aligned. And here's a fun fact. You cannot set strong intentions if your emotions are running the show like toddlers with permanent markers. Okay. So today is a good one. Today, we are talking all about emotional intelligence for the overwhelmed. And if that sentence made you feel seen, yes, this episode is for you. So emotional intelligence is not just a buzzword. It is the secret cheat code to leadership, communication, connection, and not losing your mind in the workplace. So let's be honest. Most of us learned long division. We learned how to label the mitochondria. But no one taught us how to manage stress, to resolve conflict, or to have a grown-up conversation without wanting to hide under a desk. That is why we called in someone who is basically the Beyonce of SEL. Today, we are hanging out with the brilliant, wonderful, wildly impactful Lori Woodley Langendorf. Now, Lori is an author, a speaker, an expert in social and emotional literacy, and co-founder of the nonprofit All It Takes. And she built it with her daughter, the actress and producer Shailene Woodley, which if you haven't seen Big Little Lies, spoiler alert, season 2 is coming out and Shailene is incredible. And now her son Tanner is in the mix too. So it's a full family of world changers. Now her book, SEL Muscle Mastery, introduces her SEL muscles framework. Now these are real skills that help humans build emotional balance, resilience, and connection. And here's what I just love about Lori. She doesn't just talk about emotional intelligence in a fluffy way. She's going to teach us tools that work in the classroom, in the boardrooms, in the Zoom rooms, in the family rooms, and anywhere where humans try to communicate without blacking out from stress. So let me just cover why we're talking about emotional intelligence today, because the workplace has officially changed. Emotional intelligence is not extra credit, y'all. It is the whole freaking assignment. Some studies say emotional intelligence predicts up to 75% of long-term job success. Others say people with higher EQ earn more money, have stronger relationships, and experience less burnout. Now, on the flip side, low emotional intelligence is freaking expensive. You get miscommunication, conflict, turnover, team tension, toxic vibes, and leaders who think everyone is the problem except them. So if you ever have felt overwhelmed, misunderstood, or one email away from launching your laptop into the parking lot, this conversation is your permission slip to breathe, reset, and build the skills that actually help. So here's the breakthrough. Emotional intelligence is not just a personality trait. It is either something you have or you don't. Actually, let me say that again. It's not something you have or you don't. It's a freaking muscle. And like any muscle, you can build it. So Lori's SEL muscle framework teaches you how to do just that. When you know how to manage emotions, express needs, resolve conflict, and connect with others, your life gets so much easier, your relationships get healthier, your work becomes smoother, and you stop feeling like chaos is your full-time job. So y'all, get ready for this play day. Let's play, let's learn, and let's bring in Lori. Here we go. Workday Playdate peeps, listen, today is going to be a very special episode. Lori, welcome to the Playdate, the playground.
Thank you, Erin. I'm super happy to be in your sandbox.
I love it. There's so much room in the sandbox. I want you to know. So, okay, let's start off. We always love to start the show with an intention. What is, like, you and I, I've already because I always say this, like before we hit record, I should always record those because they're so fun. But I also love that real human connection. And I know that we're going to learn so much from you here today, just based off of that and what I know of you. But from your perspective, what is a word that comes to mind for you that you want to either give or receive today in this conversation?
Connection. I think connection is what I'd like to offer and receive.
I love that. And I think we're all craving that. Like we all want a little bit more in this crazy hyper-connected world, right? Like it's so cool that you're holding space for that word. What were you going to say? I feel like you had a thought there.
Well, yeah, you said this hyper-connected world where more and more our humanity is becoming less and less connected. It's a weird oxymoron in a way. Like we have more connection and less connection at the same time. And I think people are struggling with that. And then they're struggling with what to do about it.
Yeah.
So, you know, it's just an interesting place.
It's such, well, and I'm so glad people like you exist because you help us with emotional intelligence. You help us see the deeper meaning behind the connection and the conversations. So let's just start right there. What has inspired you to make emotional intelligence your life's mission, your life's work?
Well, for me, my background is 30 years as a school counselor. And what I found kind of as a heartbeat of every school, right? Every person on a school campus has a role, and we're trying to be impactful for the future of our kids. And so we see our kids for a year, perhaps, but we want to make sure that what we're doing has long-term impact. So I think we're raising adults is what our job is. And as a school counselor, even long before the pandemic, I started to see some things that concerned me deeply. And they all were around this concept of emotional intelligence, or in schools, we call it social emotional literacy. And there was this lack of students' ability to be accountable for what they create. It's not my fault. It's not my fault. I didn't do it. And then I tease that back into like, why would we do that? What is society doing for people to not feel safe going, ooh, ouch, sorry, I did that. And I'm going to work harder to not next time. Like, where did we as people become shame driven, right? Like I have to protect anything that might make me feel like I'm imperfect. And honestly, I was one of those. I was raised as a firstborn. And I had to be, I perceived myself as having to be perfect. And it has been a lifetime of unraveling that. And if you ask my siblings and my mom, they probably still say, yeah, you're not really great at it yet. But I'm trying to unravel this need to be perfect and this ability to say, ooh, I did that. I created that for you. I created this for me. I'm still human. You're human. Let's regroup and go.
Yeah.
Right. Instead of let's protect it and shame it and put it aside and pretend it didn't happen. And that was a huge growing concern for me in schools. And then one other was just, I had this incident with this kid on a campus. It was probably fifth or sixth grader. I was walking down the hall and going out some doors, and he held the door open for me. Now, this is interesting, Erin, because I didn't notice the kids who didn't hold the door. It was like this blast of cold water in my face as a wake-up call when I literally stopped short and looked at him and was like, thank you. But I was a little viscerally confused, like, oh my gosh, I just noticed the nice thing a child did. And I've become numb to the amount of times that we are dismissing, like kind of a careless attitude where people just let doors slam in front of you, right? And so there was there were some things as a counselor that really drove me to then start writing, researching, digging deeper for what we need to be doing more for our kids, and now more for our employees and for our managers, because it's just a continuum of living, right? So it doesn't matter if you're 5, 18, 35, or 70, we're in a continuum of living and developing, hopefully.
Yes, yes. I mean, lifelong learners listen to this show. We are so with you, Lori. And I love, like, it came, your mission, it seems, came from not only your own childhood, but the impact of other people's childhood that you are witnessing. And I'm also just a yes and you. We say that in improv a lot. I'm a firstborn, recovering perfectionist. Recovering people pleaser. The list goes on. We know how, especially firstborn daughters, I feel like we are just like always trying to recorrect ourselves as somebody who's overcorrected themselves their whole lives and give ourselves more grace. But I love your work. You're an amazing counselor. You're an amazing writer. You're an amazing mom. You have beautiful children. Tell our peeps what you were telling me about Shailene and then your son, and just, you said something so beautiful before we started the show. And I think I would love for the peeps to hear this, because I was complimenting you on how amazing you have been as a mother to raise these amazing kids who are doing wonderful things in the world. And what did you say to me?
Well, you know, I'm super proud of them. Like every parent's proud of our kids, right? And we want to celebrate their victories and celebrate their wins and their passions. And so, of course, with Shailene and, you know, what she's done in the film industry and the projects she picks is, you know, and the talent she has is extraordinary and exceptional and amazing. And my heart bursts with pride, but mostly happiness that she has found something that she loves, that she's good at, that she wants to pursue. As a mom, that's what I want my kids to do. Tanner, same thing. He's got this amazing knack for writing, for editing, for film production. Those skills didn't come from me. But I do think that what I'm most proud about for both of them probably did have something to do with me. And that is who they are as people in the world, right? They care so deeply about humanity, about the planet. They care about equity and human rights and the rights of our planet to survive and thrive, and a way for us as people to work with nature, not against it and not in spite of it and not taking it for granted. So there's so many values that I'm so proud of them, and the work that each of them has chosen to do is taking a stand for what they believe in. And I think that as a parent, that's what we want most from our kids. Like, find what you believe in, take a stand and live your purpose, but also have fun. Enjoy it all.
Yes, because we are in that play day right now, Lori, and I love it. And yes, that, right. Like, listen, you embody it. So of course they were going to find that naturally from you. And it's so cool to sit here and just talk to you, because they learn what they are taught, and you taught them those values, which I think is so wonderful to see, because it's not just words, like it's through their actions that you're really seeing your results. So take that in, Lori. Take that in. Receive.
I will take it in. Receiving it. Yes, receive, yes, yes. Thank you.
Okay. But I know we had a lot of our peeps who come to us, especially people, leaders, leading teams, leading families, parenting up, parenting down. I'm in that like weird sandwich stage of my life right now. And so overwhelm is so real for everyone listening that I've ever spoken to. When somebody is really maxed out, how does emotional intelligence actually show up? What does it look like in real human life? What do we see with like the multitasking day to day? How does it show up for us?
So I think emotional intelligence shows up when we're in overwhelm. Strong emotional intelligence shows up in overwhelm when we can recognize first up that we're in overwhelm. I think so many of us are actually walking through life in overwhelm, in an amygdala fire, in a nervous system hijack, constantly, and we're in bad moods. The people we love the most get treated the worst because we come home from our jobs exhausted because we didn't have a play date at work. We just grind through it. And so we come home and we're ground out.
Yep.
And so then the people that we love the most really get not the softest, nicest side of us. They get the anxious, exhausted, Now there's the pressure of home and dinner and all the things if you're a parent, sports and practices and grocery shopping and oh, you got to pay a bill once. And then it's so snappy and so kind of like unflowy in the evenings that we go to sleep or we try to. And then we're like, wait, I didn't like who I was. If we're even that reflective, if we allow ourselves to be reflective, but if we don't allow ourselves to be reflective, it's still there. Right. So for me, not paying attention to our emotional intelligence creates like this denial that it matters. And then we're not paying attention to what we need in any given moment to make our day more like a play date, more like ease and flow rather than, you know, hump and grind, you know?
That's right. Mm-hmm. Okay. You've said so many of my favorite words in here, but first I have to start with one of them that you said in the very beginning. Did you say amygdala-fy? Amygdala? What was it? Amygdala?
Amygdala fire.
Amygdala fire, which if you don't know what the amygdala is, it's where your fear, your fight, flight, or fear resides in your brain. And I've never heard that term used. I was like, yes, Lori, yes. And then also joy and flow and ease and flow. My intention for this month is joy flow, like joyful, but joy flow, because I'm trying to do that, you know, but I get in this overwhelm. And I do have, I think, some EQ to recognize that I'm in it. And I know people listening can, as you were listing the laundry list of things that we all do, I'm like thinking of my evening tonight, I'm like, Lori, you just called it out. And it's wonderful to be a parent, to be a leader, to have all these things. But the awareness piece of overwhelm, the awareness piece of burnout is so important. So I'm so glad you're here with us today. Hey, peeps, hope you are enjoying my conversation with Lori. We will be right back after a quick break from our sponsors. Thank you for supporting those who support the show. Okay, peeps, are you listening to this conversation and thinking, wow, my team needs this level of clarity and emotional alignment? Then our intention setting workshop might be your new secret weapon. This high energy interactive experience helps your team step into the year with purpose. We guide participants through improvisational activities, reflection, and customized debriefs, all centered around visualization plus values equals verified results. They will identify core values, choose a guiding word, and build our signature ideal day framework that helps them structure time with intention instead of stress. Now, this workshop is 2 hours in person for up to 100 people or 90 minutes on Zoom for up to 50 peeps. And if you want your team to feel focused, energized, and aligned, reach out to us and let us help you kick off the year right. Come to us at learntoimproveit.com. That's learntoimproveit.com. And you can find the link directly in your show notes. Now back to the show. You are listening to Workday Playdate on the Passion Struck Network. Now back to my conversation with Lori Woodley Langendorf. Let's talk about SEL, okay, as a muscle. Now, could you just explain it as you, I know what it is now, but could you explain the SEL muscles and how they help us stay sane in this world of overwhelm?
For sure. So SEL, social emotional literacy, I think of it as literacy. In schools, you're going to hear it as social emotional learning, but I call it literacy because I think these are skills that we need to be literate in, like to read, to be able to do math, to be able, right, like to figure things out and process through and think for ourselves. Those are literacy skills. Once you know them as a check the box, we have to practice them. Otherwise, like we don't stop reading once we learn to read a simple sentence. We keep reading and we become more and more and more literate at it. And in emotional intelligence or SEL, often we just go, okay, well, I learned what compassion is. I learned what confidence is. I've learned what patience or empathy is. But we need to not just know what they are. We need to live them so that we can live lives that we're happy to be living. And so in SEL muscle mastery, the muscles are, it's a play on words, right? Like, so we think of muscles, you think of biceps and quads and stretching and things like that. But what about those EQ muscles? What about those social emotional muscles that if we don't keep flexing them, if we get complacent, they get weaker. And that is no different than any physical muscle. People talk about, well, we need to keep working our brain out for older, elderly brain care, right? And we need to but we have to do the same thing with self-care. We have to do the same thing with an ability to recognize, reflect, embrace, and do something with it. And so that's like the, right? Just knowing something doesn't change anything for us or anyone else. We have to actually put it into practice. We have to be willing to bump around and get it wrong and then get it right and see the value of them. But if we don't practice, we don't have them, right? So the muscles are, there's six of them in general, but there's so many. But the first one is quit taking it personal. How many times has somebody just, said to you, or maybe the ouch here is like, we've said it to others, like, just don't take it so personal.
Yeah.
And we're grouchy at somebody else because they didn't handle our kind of shortcut comment to them.
Yep.
And you're taking it personal. So we make the problem about them, or we take things personal and then we blame them for our upset.
I mean, been there, done there. Got the t-shirt.
Yeah. We all have. The muscle mastery work is just doing it less. How great could it be if we flexed our muscles and some days we didn't work out and we kind of go, ooh, I can feel the difference between when I work out and I don't. Oh, people like to be around me more when I work out those muscles.
Yep.
You know, my kids enjoy me. I enjoy them. I sleep better. My diet's better. Everything about my life flows better when I'm practicing not taking things personal, when I'm offering benefit of the doubt that there's something going on over there, when I'm practicing changing how I talk about frustrations from you did something, like the minute somebody says you, like it comes out a little aggressive, it's a little throaty, you're like you, and the person on the other side's like, not me, right? And instantly we have a power struggle.
Yep. Yep. And they're done that as well. Yep.
Yep. Q-tip. But taking it personal. Power of I. Reframe. I'm experiencing rather than you did. If you want to have a relationship with people where people feel safe and healthy and intrigued by you, we need to say, I need to say, I am experiencing, I felt, I, because otherwise we instantly put people on defense. And if we all just think and reflect a little bit on those who do it to us and how we react to them, that's how people react to us too.
Totally. Okay. I know we have more muscles because I want to get to each of them, but I want to stop right here for this one, because I want to talk about that I statement as it comes in play in a workplace setting, right? So let's just pretend that you're my manager and I've been coming in late, like every day. Okay. And you are frustrated with me. How would you address that with me using that example?
Yeah, great. So first, make sure you don't let it get so frustrating for you that the only thing you've got left is to snap and bark at them.
Yep.
So got to have a conversation before we're over our line. And then the next thing is like, look, you know what? I'm concerned about your productivity when you're late all the time. What I also don't understand of what's going on is what's going on in your life. Now, we have something we have to do here. We have rules. We have colleagues who are counting on you. This has to be corrected, but I want you to know that I'm here to hear you out. But getting to work on time is not an option.
Yep.
But I also care about you as a person. What do you need? And it might be that they're all, what I need is to not come in on time. Well, okay, well, what you need and what we need aren't a match. But we don't have to say it as you're late every day, I'm writing you up. And you could say, look, based on policy, I have to write this up. But as I do that, I want you to know that if there's something that I can do that you can think of that you could request, which is muscle 3, actually, I'm happy to see what I can do.
Yeah.
I want you to know you have support here and getting to work's not an option. Ah. So like you can do both.
I love it. Okay. Cause I love it, Lori. Okay. Because anytime I heard you say you, it was always thinking about something better for me. Whenever you said the word you to me, you're like, I can help you do. It wasn't a, you did this. It was that I can help you with X, Y, or Z. So I really love that. Okay. So that was step one, right? There's muscle one, not step one, but muscle one, right? What, or did we get into two and three on that?
So that was muscle two, power of I,
power, like of,
power of reframing, okay, to I. The first thing you do is a Q-tip. So that's the first one, and don't take it personal. So as a manager, I didn't take it personal about that you don't get to work on time. I sat in curiosity and benefit of the doubt that I don't know why you're not getting to work on time. Most managers will be like, you're lazy, you don't care, like, and all those things are personalizing, right?
Yes.
Then frame in the conversation in I.
Yep.
Power, okay. We call it power of I. And then asking for what we need rather than complaining about. That's muscle three, ask versus tell.
Oh, ask. Okay, let's talk about that really quick. Ask versus tell. So tell me, what would an example of that be? If let's still keep the scenario, you're my leader and I'm still doing something, I'm still showing up late. What would, how would you ask versus tell?
Yeah, so here, I'm here to chat with you about the fact that we have a problem with being here on time. And I don't know what's going on in your world, but I do know what my responsibility here is. And what I need is for us to find a way to have you here on time. And while it's your job to get here, what do you need from me? That would be requesting somebody else to ask for what they need, right? And a lot of times, being called at, there might not be an answer that your employee will have for you. But being kind of loved up while also being held accountable to can actually just be like, oh, I want to get here on time now because actually I feel cared about.
Exactly. And you know what else? Whenever somebody comes up with their own solution, they actually do it. You know what I'm saying?
Yes. Like,
instead of you telling me, hey, I need you to be here on time, get here.
Yep. And that's the tell. You're never on time. Your employees or your colleagues or your peers, they always are frustrated. You're not pulling your weight. All of those kinds of ways that we speak, that is typical. Those are way more typical, which I don't understand that, but it is. That's just never going to move a person towards wanting to please you.
Yes. Oh my gosh, Lori. Okay. Give me number four, because that was three, ask versus tell. What is four?
So four is storytelling. So in this scenario, storytelling is to speak in story to relate to another person rather than accuse them or teach them a lesson. So a lot of adults tell stories like, you shouldn't do this because I did it and this happened to me. Or you have a lot of parents who are talking about kids on their phones. Well, we gave them the phones and now we're complaining that they're using them.
Right.
Like there's so many things. That's a whole different conversation. But in this story, it might be something like, look, you know, when I was X and I wasn't performing really well, I had a manager who just didn't understand what I was going through. And for me personally, I had a story where I was in corporate America before going into education and my dad was dying. I was pregnant with my daughter. I was falling apart. And my boss had set a meeting and my therapist called right then to schedule a time where we could meet. And I'd been trying to get my therapist for like a week and I was drowning. And I took that call and my boss comes marching down the hallway and literally walked in and goes, were you on a personal call? And I had hung up. It was like a 1 minute call. And I was like, yes. And he just rolled his eyes, turned his back on me and marched away with me following him. And I was crushed because I really cared about my job and my boss. And trying to make that appointment was so that I could keep caring and not literally lose my mind in some really hard times. And so, but he didn't ask me. He liked me as an employee. I was good for him as an employee. And he didn't turn and go, that's unusual for you, Lori. What's up? Right. And he could have asked me for what I needed, asked a little bit of benefit of the doubt. Instead, he took it personal. Right. He Q-tipped. But that was 35 years ago. And I still remember to this day that feeling of letting him down and wishing that he just cared enough. And he did care about me. I know that. But in that moment, he was so frustrated. So there's so many things we don't know about what's happening in another person's world. And if we give them just a little bit of grace, if we tell a story, like I would tell that story now, if I was with that person who's late all the time. Look, I don't know what's happening with you.
I was sitting there listening. Like I was you were my boss telling me that story. And I was sitting here thinking, I was like, wow, if she were to tell me this story, I'd be like, she really gets me. She understands that I am struggling myself. I'm a new mom. I'm running late because I can't get my kid to daycare on time, you know? And I would sit there and be like, wow, okay, Lori understands because she was me at one point. And that would mean so much to me as your direct report. Like I would be like, yes, Lori, thank you. And that's like, you're laying these things on top of each other, right? Like these muscles are things that we build. And if you were to go all through these steps, and this is step four, I'm sitting here thinking like, wow, she cares about me. I'm going to stay at this job because I got somebody who actually like understands that I'm a new mom. I got a lot on my plate. I've got family members I'm caring for too. Wow, Lori was me at one point. Like this is really cool. So I'm going to show up on time because I want Lori to feel like I see her.
And you're modeling, which is muscle six, which will, you know, walk the talk. Like I'm modeling, I managed to figure it out.
Yeah.
Right. And yeah, that we want to model, but not in lecture, but in doing. So that's muscle six is walk the talk. And then muscle five is curiosity. Like it would have been beautiful for him to be curious about me, right? When we're frustrated, if we don't take it personal, but we can be curious, like what do I not understand about you? And here's the thing about curiosity. We have to be willing to not be agreed with. We have to be willing to not understand another person's come from. Like we don't understand why they don't want to get out of bed. We don't understand why they stay up till 3 a.m. gaming. We don't understand all those things. And then we want to make it wrong. You shouldn't do that. That's storytelling in the lecture, right? You shouldn't stay up. You have a job here. You shouldn't be up so late. It's your problem. But whatever it is that we're attributing judgment to versus curiosity to. So if we can be curious, we can ask for what we need or investigate others to getting them to a place where they can ask for what they need rather than complain about what they don't have. And then we can do all that using an iframe and not take anything that someone else has done personally. We can have relationships with our employees that will build team in a way that we have never seen before.
Oh my God, Lori, I love it. Let me recap the steps. I was jotting them down as we were talking. So Q-tip is don't take it personal. Number one, muscle one, the power of I, muscle two, ask versus tell. What do you need from me? Muscle three, muscle four, storytelling. So speak in the story to relate. Number five, curiosity without judgment. And number six, walk the walk. Is that right?
Yeah.
Did we do it?
We did it.
Oh my God. Okay. So I feel like if I'm a peep listening right now, I got these steps. I have these muscles. What would you say if they're like, man, I would love to do these. I'm so overwhelmed. I don't even know where to start. What's something they can do today?
Pick one muscle that you're like, oh my gosh, that's not a great muscle for me. Pick one. Pick just one. Give yourself grace and understand that nobody gets stronger overnight.
That's right.
We get stronger with practice. Our hearts get stronger, better if we give some cardio to them. They get weaker if we never give them cardio. With these muscles, the same thing. So if taking things personal is your big thing, a lot of times it feels like that's where when we do trainings, like these interactive fun trainings, people are like, that's a big one. And so pick one. Taking things personal and give it a shot. Start first by noticing like, oh my gosh, in this day, I took that personal from my teenager, that personal from my boss, that personal from my colleague, this personal from my mother, this from my partner. And the only person who I didn't personalize anything from was my dog. Yeah. Right. Like, and right. And just notice what that does to the energy of your life.
Yes. Yes.
And because if we notice the impact and how it makes us someone who we're not proud to be, someone who is not enjoying our lifetime, then we have a reason to give it a try. So then the next time, you know, could be in the next 5 minutes, like somebody does something and you take it personal, you didn't do the dishes, you didn't whatever. Like, okay, I don't understand what's going on in their world. I can use an I statement rather than a complaining about. And I can say, here's what I'm needing. When I come home from work and you've said you'd have your chores done, or when I come into work, you said you'd be on time and you're not. My experience is that you don't care about what's happening here. You don't care about being a team member. I don't know that that's true, but that's my experience.
I love that.
And then it gives somebody else, like, so then we can be honest with ourselves without being cruel. We can be honest without being critical. And we're taking care of our needs of at least expressing and not taking whatever they've done personal. Because whatever's going on over there is on them.
Yeah,
it's really not about us.
And as a recovering perfectionist / people pleaser, that is an oldest daughter. We're giving all the titles here. Like that is something I feel like I have to relearn over and over again. It's literally the things that I worry about for other people have nothing to do with me, but I let them affect me. And so as a leader and as a people leader listening, I want everyone to take that in because I know you all care about your people so much. And it's hard to not absorb that and think it has something to do with you when everybody has so much going on in their lives. So, okay, we've got some practical tools. So start with one. And then once you master the one, you bring in the second and then you bring in the third and just keep going. But Lori, the framework is beautiful. It's so it's so wonderful. And I feel like if everyone could do this, the world would be a better place. And we're talking to Lori today about doing this at work with personal relationships, but you wrote the book essentially for parents, right? So this is also applied to parents.
Right. Parents and educators. Yeah.
And educators. And so as a mom myself, I'm like, okay, I have these notes now in my phone because I wrote them down as you were talking. And I always tell people that I'm not texting, I'm writing down your notes, but I'm truly gonna, for me, I think, and I'm just gonna give my homework away. I think I'm going to start with the framing of the power of I, because I typically am like, you did not clean up after yourself and you didn't brush your teeth. So I would love you to clean up those toys. And I would love it if you had clean hygiene.
So can I say something on that?
Yes, please help me.
Yeah. So you don't, I think as parents, we'll shift to parent mode here. We don't want to beg. And we don't want to shame. So when it's like I, so sometimes in the book, it talks about cautious considerations, like how the I statement can actually backfire, because we can say I and go, we said I, but really it's a you. I want you. Well, here's the thing. A family value we have is hygiene. Here are the hygiene factors. Brushing our teeth is not an option. So I'm going to manage watching you until you do this all on your own. Because you don't want me on your back, I know it, but I will be on your back until I have seen your pattern of doing this on your own, which I'm sure you don't want me on your back. And guess what? I got better things to do. So I don't want to be on your back. So let's just figure this out.
That's it. Oh my God, I love the family value. I love the, that is a really, really good way to start it off. A family value is clean hygiene, which it is. Okay. I mean, not to every family. Mine, I would say we've already been to the dentist and we don't have real teeth, you know, with a cavity. So let's work on that. Okay. So this is just so amazing. It can help us both personally. It can help us both professionally. Lori, I could talk to you forever. Like, I have so many other questions. We'll have to have you back on the show. So let me ask you this. This is one of my favorite questions to ask people. How are you going to make your work day? You're working a little bit today. You had some fun things happen. How are you going to make your day more playful today?
Oh my gosh. We're going to do this beautiful drive through British Columbia to the airport so I can fly home and I get to be with my son, my husband, and a new son to be a fiance. And we're just going to have great conversations in the car and I'm going to eat up and absorb every last minute I get to spend with these amazing humans. So that's going to be my fun day.
Lori, I love it. Congrats to you. You gained future son-in-law, yeah, which is so exciting. And I know our peeps are going to want to connect with you. So where can they find you? Where can they buy your book? Tell us about the second book, like all the things. Where are all the things?
Well, I'm going to write the second book about EQ muscles. So specific stories around the workplace, because this one is more parenting and education stories. But as you noted, Erin, these skills are just basic human communication skills. But you can find the book at selmuscles.com. And that's a little bit about me and the book specifically. And then you can find a lot about me and my work at allittakes.org. So allittakes.org is like the bigger picture of all the work that we do and the trainings we have and the professional development. And then selmuscles.com.
I love it, Lori. Okay. Well, I'm so excited for you. I'm so excited for our peeps. Like, what great knowledge you gave us. What a fun play date. And I feel like we had a lot of connection just coming full circle back to your word. Like, you are just an amazing human, parent, friend, educator, facilitator, author. So I'm so excited for your new book to come out. And I'm so excited our community got to hear from you. So thank you so much, Lori.
Thank you, Erin, and your peeps for being here. And I look forward to crossing paths again.
Yeah. All right. What a play date, Lori. What a play date. Okay, peeps. I absolutely loved this play date. I could be in the sandbox with Lori like all day long. Her tools are so powerful. And I want to wrap up and I want you to think about this 6-step framework and which one you are going to start with today. Okay, pick one of those that you are going to start with today. That is your homework. And if you're listening right now, your takeaway is this. Emotional intelligence does not make you soft. It makes you strong. It makes you grounded. It makes you someone people trust, respect, and want to follow. Now, when you learn how to handle emotion with skill instead of panic, everything in your life gets lighter. If this episode made you think, laugh, nod, or breathe a little deeper, share it with your team, your boss, your bestie, or that one coworker who needs emotional intelligence tattooed on their forehead. Anywho, peeps, I'm so grateful you joined this playdate with us today. I will see you next time.